ادعوني استجب لكم. Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Dua. Inshallah Azawajal, today we'll be talking about beautiful topic, and that is, what are those hurdles which are there as a hindrance when a person makes dua? So we will find out why our duas are not accepted and what are those causes. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, be with us from start till end. Inshallah Azawajal, you'll be learning a lot from today's program. But before we proceed towards our topic in segments, let me mention what we are going to cover. We'll have one segment in which we will talk the topic, as I earlier mentioned, and one segment we'll learn one masnoon dua, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. We have a segment where we will be sharing a beautiful message, English dubbed message, insha'Allah, from Marana Abdul Habib Al-Tari. And further, insha'Allah, at the end, we will have a segment in which we will talk about one of the beautiful personalities in the history of Islam. And at the end, we will make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, before we proceed towards our first segment, let's make a few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir Fahle Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task, any good deed. I make this intention, I will deliver this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should make this intention, you'll watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge onto others too. Alhamdulillah, today joins me Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Al-Tariq. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Wasim Abbas bhai, once again welcome you. Jazakallahu khaira for your time. As last segment, we were talking about those causes which are there as a hindrance and hurdle for one's dua being accepted. And we covered a few points in the last episode. InshaAllah, taking right from there, where we disconnected, and we will continue from there. What are further points, inshallah, would like to share with viewers of Madani Channel, which become as a cause and hindrance for the acceptance of dua?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As last time we were talking regarding certain duas, which apparently seem to be not reaching the level of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what ulama have stated in that regard, that if dua is not accepted, then what should our conduct be? How should we behave and react to it? Today, inshallah, continuing from the same discussion, there's another beautiful point that ulama, they mentioned before they move on to the factors which serve as a hindrance in the acceptability of dua. Ulama, they mentioned another beautiful point, that sometimes, Rizwanbhai, what happens is that a person is making dua for the provisions of this world. He asks for the goods of this world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for him the provisions of the hereafter, the reward of the hereafter, the blessings of the hereafter. So instead of those du'as which a person is asking for the provisions of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the blessings of the afterlife stored for him, you can say. So this is also one of those situations where our du'as, whatever we ask for, that is not granted to us in this dunya, but a better return in the hereafter, in the shape, in the form of the blessings of the afterlife are destined for us. And when this is the case, this is the scenario, then this is a place of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, paying gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of
for the greater
complaining.
Good.
For the greater good, indeed. Yeah. Instead of complaining in
this
his court.
This reminds me of a beautiful account of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam and Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. When they were on journey, like they were together. And part of that account is that once they entered a village where people, they did not entertain them, they did not ask for any you can say for food, or they did not do any hospitality whatsoever. But later, Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam, especially because of Madani Shail, he saw a wall which was about to fall, and he reconstructed it, built it, and fixed that properly. Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was surprised at what sort of behavior these people they extended towards us, and in return, why did Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam, he
sort of helping them.
Helped them. So this was something which he alayhi salam did not understand, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So later on, when it was revealed, the hidden secret which was there, wisdom which was there behind, that was again the same, for a greater good, this was there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, because there was a treasure hidden beneath that wall. Had that wall fallen, that treasure would have been
revealed
and exposed, and people would have taken that away. And because that belonged to those orphans, they were still young at that moment, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to that treasure being hidden for time being, unless or until those orphans, they grow, and then they can find their treasure, which was their own, you can say, property. Allahu Akbar. So sometimes, apparently, we see something different, but as a wisdom behind, the knowledge behind, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows is for our own greater good. We complain, my dua has not been accepted, but how beautifully it is mentioned, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the reward for us. That reward is much, much, much greater.
Indeed.
And that greater good, we sometimes do not see, because that's what our knowledge is, and we complain for not getting the smaller good, what is apparently in front of us.
Yes, because as a human being, we perceive something beneficial for us only if it has a tangible value, or if it is physical, or if we can comprehend it. Whereas the beautiful example you gave, where Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam had, he knew the reason behind those actions, which Musa alayhi salam at the time didn't know. So we come to know that wisdom and intellect, knowledge, is something that is far superior than anything else. And based on that, it is determined whether the acceptance of our dua, or shall we say, acceptance of our dua in the means of being granted exactly what we asked for, or it being preserved for us in the hereafter, which one is better for us? It is only knowledge and wisdom which actually determines it.
And it is also mentioned, Wasim Abbasmi, in the books, that when a person, when he will see Allah those du'as on the Day of Judgment which were not accepted, and their reward which is being stored for that person, right, which has been kept for that person, when he will see that reward piled up in front of him, he will be surprised. And then it is mentioned that he would wish that
none of my dua
had been accepted in dunya and all reward, because then he will realize the greater, subhanallah, benefit, what he would see. So this is what we are talking about. This is what it is mentioned in the books, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a greater good for us in terms of great reward, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, what we will see. And sometimes we are thinking about what is apparently for us, and we are asking dua, and that is not being accepted. So here, we shouldn't complain. Rather, this is maqam shukr. This
Indeed.
Is written. This is a place where we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is designing better for us.
Subhanallah.
More better, inshallah, the form
you
we will get.
In many times, Rizwan, for example, I keep praying that, oh Allah, give me a car. Oh Allah, give me a car. But ultimately, I don't get a car. I'm not given a car by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I feel so let down, thinking that, you know, why didn't Allah Almighty accept my dua? Why wasn't a car granted to me? But on the other hand, who knows that if car was given to me on the first day, I would have met an accident.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I would have become disabled for the rest of my life. So if I knew this, that if I get a car and I would meet an accident resulting in me being disabled for the rest of my life, if I know this, then would I want a car? Then I wouldn't. So we don't know what is good for us, what isn't good for
us. Again, this example, beautiful example, can be taken in as in different way. Like most of the people right now in this country, they want to pass driving test, right? And number of times they end up failing. Right? They fail the test and they don't pass. And each time one fails, becomes
demotivated.
And then the feeling he has, oh Allah, I was asking so much, I prayed so much, and I asked so many people to pray for me. I did that, I did sadaqah and so many things, but yet I failed. Especially because of Madani, same example Mubaligh of Dawud Islami gave. Maybe that is the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn more.
Indeed.
To practice more. Maybe the level of practice what we have so far done is not enough for us. We need more practice, right? So that we become a sound driver to be on the road, so that we can be, alhamdulillah, protected, and we can also help others to safely drive on the roads. So this is something we need to understand. Apparently, if our dua is not accepted, many people, they ask dua, may I pass my test, please pray for me, but they are failing. So by end of the day, they pass, alhamdulillah, a number of times. So same mentality we should have. If we are not passing, maybe it's not the right time for me.
The bestower of blessings knows when is the best time to bestow us with a blessing.
True, absolutely.
As simple as that. This is what we should understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows us with blessings. Allah Almighty knows the best, that when is the best time for us for that blessing to be granted. This is the mindset we should develop, and then keep supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is, one way, even if our dua is apparently not being accepted, but yet we do get reward over it. It's a win-win situation.
True.
You know, we still do get reward over it. So we should never be demotivated if our dua is not apparently answered. We should not be demotivated or let down from asking dua. We should still keep supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the essence of worship,
Masha,
which is the best form of worship. Now, carrying further is one way. Another beautiful fact which ulama, they mention is, and I would summarize the entire discussion of ulama in a few words, where ulama state that there's certain ahadith where we've been refrained from certain actions. For example, if you're traveling, then you should not stop in the middle of the path. Or at Maghrib time, children should not be let out, so on and so forth. There are different prohibitions in ahadith upon different actions. Now, the person who ends up committing those actions, who does not abide by those prohibitions mentioned in a hadith, his du'as are not accepted either. This action of his, where he does not abide by those instructions given in the ahadith, this serves as a factor which leads towards the unacceptance of du'as of a person. So we need to again be very careful in this regard over here, that first thing first, do we even know those instructions? Have we bothered to first of all learn about those instructions, learn about our deen, learn about those prohibitions which have been mentioned in hadith for our own good?
Sure.
What we should do, what we shouldn't do, how should we travel, how should we eat, how should we drink, how should we sleep, how should we converse, so on and so forth. So in the light of all that, we should analyze our own state, whether we abide by those instructions or not. And if we don't, then of course there's an apparent cause in front of us why our du'as are not accepted. So this is very important for us to understand and hold ourselves account in the light of these instructions, these prophetic narrations, to see where do we stand and whether this very factor is within our nature, which serves as a hindrance in the acceptability of our du'as.
Mashallah. Especially because of Madani Shail. Again, the point is we should seek knowledge. Knowledge will help us, inshallah, to further know what are the do's and don'ts. We've got one segment to include in our program. Let's include Masnoon Dua. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today, dua on a burn injury. Now, what we have to recite in that case, أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسَ رَبَّ النَّاسِ إِشْفِ أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شَافِي إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Translation. O Rabb of mankind, relieve the agony, provide cure. You all alone is provider of cure. There is no one who can provide cure except you. no doubt. So this is a beautiful dua we should recite. The respected viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, this program, what we've brought for you, is that we can understand there are many du'as which have been mentioned in the books of Ahadith, and we've been guided on every occasion to recite one du'a, to ask, to supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is so much detail about this very topic of du'a, Alhamdulillah. We have covered many episodes, and today, again, we are trying to focus on to those elements which are hindrance in the acceptability of du'a. The Wasim Abbasmi, you were talking about certain acts which if a person is doing in there, du'a is not accepted.
In this regard, is one way, when we were talking about obviously certain factors which serve as a factor for du'as not to be accepted, Alhamdulillah, Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh, he beautifully guides us in this regard. He also mentions beautifully that there are certain people whose du'as are not accepted. And one of those, Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh, he says that a person who stays in his house with a face made up. Now, this is very, very common in our society. And this also sort of, now, you see the sayings of the likes of Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh, who are our imams, who are our leaders, our guides. Whichever era we go through them and we learn about them, it seems as if they spoke about us. And this is very, very common in our society. So Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh is saying that a person who stays in his house with a face made up, and he says that, "Oh my Lord, give me sustenance, give me rizq." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to such a person that, "Did I not command you to go and seek sustenance? Go and look for sustenance." As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in verse number 10 of Surah Jum'ah, "Fantashiru fil ardi wabtaghu min fadlillah." Translation, spread out in the earth and seek the grace of Allah. So a person who does this, who stays at home, does not make any efforts, such a person's dua is not accepted. Then further, Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anhu says, the second is a person who wastes his wealth in useless things,
right,
in extravagance. And then he says that, "Oh my Lord, give me more wealth." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to such a person that, "Did I not command you to observe moderation, to be moderate in your spending? Did you not hear my command," which is mentioned again in the Holy Quran in Surah Furqan, verse number 67, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And those who when they spend neither exceed the limit nor withhold and remain between the two in moderation." This is the reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a person who was he? Who wastes everything of his wealth in extravagance, in useless activities. And then he's asking for Allah Almighty to give him more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "Did you not hear this command of mine?" Where those who stay moderate, yep, they have been praised in the Holy Quran. And the third person, who is the third person whose du'as are not accepted? Who resides, stays within those people who harm him. And then he supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh my Lord, save me from their evil." He himself is staying among those who harm him. And then he supplicates to Allah Almighty that, "Ya Allah, O my Lord, save me from their evil." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to him that, "Did I not command you to migrate, to perform hijrah? Did you not hear this very command of mine, which has been mentioned in Surah Nisa, verse number 97? أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Was the land of Allah not vast that you could have migrated?" So again, this is the third person whose dua is not accepted, which Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh is shedding light upon. Now, in the light of this beautiful saying of Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anh, these three types of people: number one, who stays in his home, doesn't make the endeavor, doesn't make the effort to go out there and earn livelihood,
yeah,
earn sustenance. In the Holy Quran, we've been persuaded, encouraged to go out there and earn halal. After offering our salah, we should go out there and do our other permissible chores, and earning halal sustenance is also necessary for us. Similarly, the one who spends in extravagance, who spends uselessly, the noble predecessors, rahimahumullah, they guide us here beautifully that there's no khair in israf, there's no extravagance, no israf in khair, in goodness. So we, again, and if we analyze our own society over here, where exactly do we stand? Just if we compare these two categories of people, those who don't go out there and make efforts to earn, and secondly, those who spend in useless activities, in extravagance, and then third, who don't make the efforts of migrating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stay in the middle of those who keep causing them harm. These three categories of people, their du'as are not accepted. Do we fall in any of these categories? Do we do enough? Do we go out there and search for the fadl, for the grace of Allah Almighty,
true,
for rizq, for sustenance, to look after ourselves and our families? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And the likes of Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu anhu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower millions of mercies upon his blessed shrine. They're guiding us that these categories of people are those whose du'as are not accepted. And we think that, you know, this doesn't apply to us. This is a very delusive claim that we are making. We think this applies to other people.
Yeah.
But if we delve deeper into it, we will realize that many of us are unfortunately, these very categories unfortunately apply to many of us.
Because we don't have knowledge. This is what we have earned from our own hands. That's why we are complaining that our dua is not accepted. At first place, we should not have done what is prohibited. Again, as we earlier mentioned, that those kids, they should not be let out going after Salatul Maghrib, right? Yeah. Because that's the time in Jannat they go out, like in a sense, they spread. So that is the moment where we should keep our children inside. So this is what, if we have been guided and instructed, we should follow. And if any harm comes because of that, so it means then we are keep praying that why did it happen to us? So at first place, we did not follow those instructions which were there for us to fulfill. Respective views of Madani Chain, we are talking about those elements and factors which become a hindrance in the acceptability of our du'as. Few we have mentioned, inshallah, as we will carry on this topic. We've got one segment to include in our program, and that is today's message. Let's include that segment in our program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
The most revered and renowned Prophet, the beloved of Allah and the intercessor of Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality is such that even just his mentioning and doing his blessed dhikr, sending salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, brings blessings. Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala says that sending salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam removes sins even more quicker than the water extinguishes fire. Even water cannot extinguish fire that quickly. And sending salutations upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam possesses more excellences than freeing slaves. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, learn benefits of durood and salam from Siddiq Akbar, the most closest companion of Prophet. Who got more proximity of Prophet other than him? Who was companion of Prophet in cave as well as companion in shrine? He says water doesn't extinguish fire as quickly as Salat ala Nabi removes sins. We're sinful people, we make mistakes every now and then. We leave home in the morning, we commit sin. And in the evening, we commit sins. If we keep fire extinguisher, meaning we keep on reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, then inshallah our sins will also be removed. Allah will forgive us. And inshallah through the blessings of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, our sins will also be forgiven. A quote summary of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, he alayhi salatu wassalam said, the one who sends one salat upon me, Allah showers 10 blessings upon him, removes 10 of his sins, and elevates his rank by 10 times. Just one salat on a Nabi. Look at the blessings. So then why shall we not send salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam in the morning, in the evening, while walking and sitting? Nowadays, social media has taken a lot of our time, our family time, salah time of many, whereas Quran time was already not there. Now further, due to social media, people don't read it. A lot of time of ours is wasted by mobile. Please do take some time out and recite salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. You will then realize how many blessings you will receive. May Allah also give me ability to recite more and more durood and salam.
Ud'uni yastajib
supplicate to me, I will accept it.
SubhanAllah. Respect you, Yusuf Badrichil. We heard a beautiful message sending salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we also heard a dhikr, tadhkira, mentioning of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And today, our personality, SubhanAllah, which we're going to talk about is none other than Afdalul Bashar Ba'dal Anbiya, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala. And inshaAllah azawajal, we'll find out about this beautiful personality, SubhanAllah, the most elite after Anbiya and Rusul. And that is the Zat of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala. And inshaAllah, we will learn about this personality today.
Ud'uni astajib lakum. Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Wasim Abbas bhai, what a great personality, SubhanAllah. And I'm quite excited to talk about Afdalul Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala. In the start, if you could just give us a brief introduction about this personality, we'll take it from there, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. Rizwan bhai, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu.
First Caliph of Islam.
First Caliph of Islam. And so many distinctions, so many honors, so many virtues, so many nobilities Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu possesses that we can't do justice to the mention of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu
anhu. In this very short span of time.
Indeed, within this very short span of time. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu is that personality in the history of Islam that whenever the history of Islam will be written, whenever anything about the great achievements of Islam or those who achieved something marvelous and amazing in Islam would be written, then it cannot be completed without Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, if you think about it, is one way, is that personality who held an very esteemed rank from the from strategic forefront, from propagational forefront, from devotional forefront, whichever aspect you want to talk about, from you will see Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu. Without the mention of Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, that very topic cannot be complete. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, when we talk about him, we know him as Abu Bakr, but his name is Abdullah. Abu Bakr is his kunya. And talking about his lineage, it is stated that the lineage of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was, his name is Abdullah bin Uthman bin Amir bin Amr bin Ka'b bin Sa'd bin Thim bin Murrah bin Ka'b. And up until Murrah bin Ka'b, there's a gap of 6 generations, and same is the gap of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam up until Murrah bin Ka'b. And it is upon Murrah bin Ka'b that the lineage of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu meets with that of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, he was born approximately 2.5 years after Amul Fil, the year of elephants. So he was basically born approximately 2.5 years after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we talk about Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, Rizwan, we, again, I'm just overexcited when I'm talking about him. I can't make up my mind what to talk about, what to leave out. But Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu is that personality, Rizwan, who is the beloved of the beloved of Allah. He is Atiq as well as Siddiq. He is Sadiq. He is Siddiq Akbar. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu is the embodiment of patience. Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu is amongst those personalities who stayed away from idol worshipping even in his youth as well. He was a friend of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam even in the pre-Islamic era as well as during the Islamic era. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu, he testified to the prophethood of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at the time when everyone denied it. And it wasn't easy at that time. There was physical torture involved and so many other things. But Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu was the first one to testify to the prophethood of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one who sacrificed everything of his for the sake of Islam. He is the first one to embrace Islam amongst the free men. And Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu was the first one to reveal his Islam. He was the first one to invite people towards goodness, to perform Amrun al Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar. He was the first one. And one excellence, one attribute, one speciality which Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu possesses is such which is not possessed by anyone else upon the face of this earth. that he himself, four generations of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh are amongst the Sahaba. Four generations, his parents, he himself, his children, and his grandchildren, they all are Sahaba. They all are companions. No other companion has this excellence where four generations of his would be amongst the Sahaba. But Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, four generations of his, they were Sahaba.
If we talk about the title you mentioned, Siddiq and Atiq, when we say Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar,
SubhanAllah.
Siddiq Akbar, when we say the Siddiq, what does it mean actually?
SubhanAllah.
Siddiq. And when we say Atiq, right, this is also one of the titles. What does it mean? If
you SubhanAllah. Siddiq comes from Siddiq, which is truthfulness.
SubhanAllah.
So Siddiq Akbar, the greatest truthful individual. So Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, he was the greatest, there's no one who's more truthful than him. And Atiq, this title was given to him because he's free from nar, from fire.
And one of the reasons ulama they mentioned him being Siddiq Akbar, that his testimony to testify the prophethood of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam.
That was the biggest reason for him to be deemed as Siddiq Akbar, for him to receive this title of Siddiq. And Rizwan bhai, when we look at the biography of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, it involves of many, many things. You see, this is a beautiful book, Fazane Siddiq Akbar of Maktabat al-Madina, on the biography of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh. I'll tell you my own sentiments. When I was going through this book, alhamdulillah, tawheed, love of the Prophet, passion for sacrificing for Islam, passion for looking after your relatives, passion to be a good father, passion to be a good businessman, passion to be truthful. All these elements, they just all of a sudden, you know, they're refreshing within yourself. And you, from every perspective of your life, you feel to do good in your life. This is the personality of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. You see, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh is amongst those personalities that just by looking at him worshipping, people would start embracing Islam. This is what he would be. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, his level of humility, humbleness, that was second to none. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh is the first caliph of Islam. He is first Amirul Mu'mineen in the history of Islam. And many a times, Rizwan, where you will see that once someone attains some kind of rank, there's a change in his behavior. But Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, he was the same before as well as after becoming Amirul Mu'mineen. Sayyidatuna Anisa radiallahu anha, she says that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, we lived in his neighborhood 1 year before he became the caliph of Khalifat al-Muslimin and 1 year after he became the caliph of the Muslims. And she says that the little girls, they would go to him with goats and he radiallahu anh would milk them for them. This is before him becoming Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of believers. So he would milk, to hearten them, to please them, he would milk those goats. Now he becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen. He becomes a leader of the believers. And again, those children would go to him and he would still do the same.
Allah.
Despite being the caliph. Someone would come to him and he would specially address him and say, Assalamu alaikum, addressing him specially. And he would be surprised, of course, after replying, he would say that out of everyone, you specially distinguished me. You specially addressed me and said salam to me. Meaning he's becoming surprised as to why am I given this honor. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, The prophecies given about him were given by other monks. The account of him embracing Islam. Yeah. If we just read that account of an imam, freshens up. Alhamdulillah, the ilmi ghaib of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the knowledge of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is also evident through the account of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh embracing Islam.
So, the excellence of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anh is evident from Quran itself.
SubhanAllah.
Quran talks about his taqwa. Quran talks about his piety. SubhanAllah. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar. In Tafsir Kabir, SubhanAllah, this is mentioned. And by his predecessors from almost 800 years ago. Imam Fakhruddin Ghazi rahmatullahi ta'ala. We are not talking about any imam of this day and age. But 800 years ago, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala writes in Tafsir Kabir that Quranic commentator rahimahumullah are unanimous, they have ijma, that this verse was revealed about the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And who is the most pious? That of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala. And this is one of the reasons ulama they say he is afdalul bashar ba'd al-anbiya.
SubhanAllah.
Subhanallah. So this is the personality who is the most pious according to Quran. Who is that? Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala.
And this,
that stands out him at the top list.
And this title was
after
given. This title was given to him by King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, he was a very successful businessman, very successful tradesperson. And he would go to Sham and other places to trade. And the account of him embracing Islam when he went to the monk Bahira, who questioned him regarding who you are, where did you come from, so and so forth. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu told him what his name was, where he came from, etc. And the monk Bahira, he said to him that a prophet will emerge in your nation and you will be his follower. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came back and Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam announced his prophethood, then Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu about this conversation which took place between him and the monk Bahira in Sham.
Allah.
And listening to this as a proof from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he embraced him, kissed him on the forehead and accepted Islam, testifying that I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah and you are the true messenger of Allah. And this very ilmul ghaib of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was something that became a reason for Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu to embrace Islam. He was the first one, and he says himself that the day I embraced Islam, upon my embracing of Islam, no one in the entire Makkah was more happier than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam upon me. You see, so Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, how he embraced Islam, and then when we talk about his excellences and how much yearning he had to serve the Ummah. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he mentions this account that there was a blind lady in Medina. And he says that I used to go and do her chores
Allah
for her. Now one day, he says that I went over there and all the work was already done. And I thought to myself that who's done all this work before me? Anyhow, the second day I came again, and again all the work is already done. And now I'm getting a bit curious.
Yeah.
Third day again I came, and all the work is already done. So next day I thought, okay, let me, I went there quite early and I hid myself somewhere and I thought to myself that let me see who comes and does all these affairs, all these chores for her. She's a blind lady. She doesn't know who's coming and doing all this. So he says that I hid myself and saw that someone came and did all the chores of the blind woman without her knowing who this is. And when I saw, that was Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu. And that's, and he says that I used to think about this as who is this person who's surpassing me in good deeds? And when I saw this, he himself says that it is only Abu Bakr who can surpass me in good deeds.
Love.
This is the humility of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. After becoming Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of believers, he's going to the house of a blind lady, a blind woman, and he is doing all the chores for her without her even knowing who's doing all this. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is one way when you talk about his greatness. Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she mentions this, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked him is there anyone in this world who has good deeds equal to the number of the stars in the sky? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, it is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And then mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, then she said, then what about my father, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, he replied that all the good deeds of Umar together are equal to one good deed of Abu Bakr.
Allah.
Subhanallah. We find narrations where it has been stated that sun has not risen upon anyone better than Abu Bakr.
This also tells the knowledge of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
He knew that how many are the stars.
How many stars? How many stars there are? How many good deeds a person has? And then there is one way. There are many, many other excellences.
One aspect I would like to touch upon is the generosity of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar.
Subhanallah.
We are talking about many elements of his personality, many factors which are associated with this great personality ever walked on the face of this earth. Allahu Akbar. And he's the most elite. After Anbiya and Rusul, and that is the Zaat of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. Wasim Ibn Basmi, once there was in need of funds, and Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam made an appeal. And all Sahaba Ikram, they brought whatever they had and they presented in the court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and he had this mindset that today I will present more in the court of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Respect, please listen.
Then Siddiq Akbar.
Allah, then Siddiq Akbar. And I'll surpass in good deeds. So this was the mindset of Sahaba Ikram. They used to compete in terms of good deeds. But unfortunately, today, in this day and age, we compete with our fellow Muslim brothers in terms of this dunya, right? If he has got a good car, I'll be better than him. If he's got two cars, I should have three. He has got one house, I should have two. He has got good house in one area, I should have better area, posh area than him. This is what our race is. This is what our understanding to compete for this dunya is. But this was not the case with Sahaba Ikram. They used to compete in terms of good deeds. And this was the case between Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam. And he brought half of his wealth and presented in the court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam asked Umar, how much have you brought? He said, half of my wealth I have brought and half I've kept.
For my household.
Allahu Akbar. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, now it was the weight of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar. أفضل البشر بعض الأنبياء الله أكبر. When he رضي الله تعالى and arrives and he presented whatever he had in the court of Mustafa عليه الصلاة والسلام, and رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام asked, Abu Bakr, what have you left for household?
At now home? The question is changed.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. Respected because of Madan Shal, سيدنا صديق أكبر رضي الله تعالى عنه said, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, for my house, Allah and His Rasul is enough.
SubhanAllah.
And I've brought everything and presented in your court. And it is mentioned in the details of this account that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala used to put hands on the walls. If there was any needle there, he could also bring that and present Allah in the court of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the generosity. This was the self-sacrifice that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala possessed. Because he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything in this world. Allahu Akbar. Anything he had, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the Zati Aqdis, the personality of Mustafa, the saying of Mustafa, Allahu Akbar, that has more weightage. And he sacrificed everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the Zat of Siddiq Akbar. And that was the moment when Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu said, I cannot surpass then the Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is the Zat of Afdalul Bashar.
SubhanAllah, Rizwan bhai. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, when we talk about his nobility, his excellence, his virtues, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he at one occasion stated that good attributes are 360.
Yeah.
Good attributes are 360. And when Allah Almighty intends good for anyone, then He Almighty creates one good attribute in that person and also enters him in paradise due to it. So out of those 360 attributes, Allah gives one attribute to a person for whom He intends good and then enters him in paradise due to that one good deed. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, out of humility, humbleness, humbly asked that, Ya Rasulullah, O the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do I possess any of those attributes?
Allahu Akbar. Allah, all of them.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, O Abu Bakr, you possess all the attributes.
Allahu Akbar. And this reminds me another narration of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. There are 8 doors of paradise.
Allahu Akbar.
There are different good deeds. Through them, a person will be able to enter through those doors. And there will be one personality, Allahu Akbar. And that is the Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. And he will enter from all doors.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam states that I was made to traverse the heavens, and upon every heaven I saw my name written, followed by the name of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu. On every heaven, the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam written, followed up by the name of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar.
And again, another narration which reminds subhanAllah that I have paid the right of everyone else except Abu Bakr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay his right on the day of judgment.
SubhanAllah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he states on the authority of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that on the night of Mi'raj, when I entered paradise, then I saw a very huge palace over there, which had silk curtains hanging upon it. And I asked, O Jibreel, who is this for? And Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is for your slave, for your ashiq, for your unparalleled devotee, Siddiqi Akbar radiallahu anhu. You see, the palaces of the paradise, his name being written off next to the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in all the heavens, and so many other excellences and virtues for Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, we have Rizwan Bey that we cannot
definitely
discuss
we can
them
never just
within the time. But even when Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu departed from this mortal world,
yeah,
even that is something for us to learn from. That even at that time, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu wanted to follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It is stated, Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. He is narrating this. He says that at the time of his passing, I was over there, and Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, he said to me that, give me ghusl, bathe me from the same utensil that you gave bath to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with, and then take my body in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and ask permission that Abu Bakr is here. If the permission is granted, then bury me next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, otherwise bury me in the graveyard of the Muslims in Jannat al-Baqi. And the fourth Caliph of Islam, Mawla Mushkil Kushi Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he says that when Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu passed away, according to his will, we carried out the funeral rites, and then we took his janazah in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we sought permission that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr wants permission, desires permission. And then reply came from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that let the beloved meet the beloved.
Subhanallah.
And then Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he says that then he was buried next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, even in passing, even age-wise, he had the same as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices of blessings and mercies upon the blessed shrine of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu and forgive us all for his sake without accountability.
Ameen. Respected Rizwan of Muhammad, inshallah, time doesn't permit us to carry any further, but inshallah azza wa jal, now it's the time to include last segments in our program, and that is Dua Fatiha. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it. Respected viewers, let's make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Rabbi bil Mustafa, balligh maqasidana واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا رحمن يا رحيم يا حنان يا منان ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا غفور يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا الله عز وجل يا مالك مولا. Once again we raised our sinful filthy hands in your pure court. يا الله عز وجل, forgive us. عدل کرے تا تھر تھر کمبر اچیاں شانہ والے فضل کرے تا بخشے جام میں جہے بک. یا اللہ یا رحمان یا مالک و مولا, forgive us. یا رحمان forgive our mistakes. اللہ عز و جل turn our sins into good deeds. یا اللہ یا رب ذوالجلال forgive our parents, forgive our family members, forgive the whole ummah of Rasul alayhi salatu wassalam. Make us practicing Muslims. Ya Allah azza wa jal, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon us. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, whatever is good, grant us. Ya Allah, whatever is not good for us, Rahman. Ya Allah azza wa jal, may we refrain from that.
Rabbi Zuljalal, Malikum, any dua, any hajat, any plea, these brothers and sisters, those they are watching right now, they've got in their hearts and minds, lawful jais hajat, Ya Allah, shower your merciful sight upon our duas. Ya Allah, accept our duas, Ya Rabbi Zuljalal, Malikum, those that are ill, give them shifa. Those that are worried, remove their worries. Any hajat dua, which is lawful, Ya Allah. Except, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Imani Kumola, Ye kyun kahun ki mujhko, Ye ata ho, wo ata ho, wo do ki hamesha mere ghar bhar ka bhala ho, Matti na ho barbaad, pase marg ilahi, jab khaak ude meri madine ki hawa ho. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, we want to come for Hajj, Ya Allah. Call us to Hajj, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, this year, Ya Allah. Show us Kaabatullah. May we also do Wukuf of Arafat. Ya Allah, may we also see Muzdalifa. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, may we also do Tawaf in Sa'i. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, may we also shed some tears in your court, in your house. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, call us to Ka'bah. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Malikum, show us Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zim. May we also go and present our salam standing near the blessed shrine of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wassalam. Present salawat and salutations upon the best of creation, and also present salam to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam, all Sahaba Ikram and Sahabiyat, those they have married in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Malikum Mawla, we would like this reward to be presented in the blessed court of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ya Allah, and for all Anbiya and Rasul, for all Sahaba Ikram, for all Ahlul Bayt, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, for all Salihin, Mu'mineen, Mu'minat, Muslimin, Muslimat, Rahman, their Arwah, those they're watching, their loved ones. Ya Allah, those they have departed from this mortal world with Iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla, would like this reward to be presented for their souls, and especially for Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Elevate his darajat, and Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, bless us with his faizan, with his Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. May we follow the seed of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala an, true essence. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ آلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَاةً وَسَلَامًا عَلَيْكَ يَا سَيِّدِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا اللَّهُ جَبْ دَمِي وَاپِسِي سَامِنِي هُو رَوْزَعِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نبه لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. جزاك الله خيرا. Thank you so much. That's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ادعوني أستجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.